Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, it's always our passion to learn. It's always our desire to grow. And Father, that is our passion today. Lord, you're the only one that can minister to this number of people because you're the only one that knows everything about everyone. You know the good, you know the bad. You know the things that they dream, you know the things that they dread. Because of that, you know the unique combination of each individual here. Today I pray that through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you are going to unlock the combination to their heart. And in some way, you are going to drill down and help them in their growth pattern. That you are going to help them, Father, to take another step in their walk with you. And it is my prayer that when it's all said and done, that you are going to help each of us to be more like Jesus than ever before. That is our passionate prayer in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. We all agree together saying, amen. Well, you can be seated. Today I want to take a few minutes and I want to walk you through a story in Luke chapter 5. It's a story that has a very visual background because God wants us to not only hear it, he wants us to see it. So in Luke chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, we're given these words. And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. In that story, God gives us a visual. I need you to see what he's asking us to see. It's a lake, and on the lake there's a hill, and on the hill are multitudes of people. Whenever the Bible talks about multitudes, it's talking about thousands. So imagine yourself at the bottom of a hill, a lake behind you, you're looking up, and you see thousands of people up there. These people are listening to someone, and then as your eyes begin to track down, you see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's just doing his simple ministry of teaching, but the people begin to be caught on every word that he's saying. They begin to be consumed, and as they're caught on those words, they begin to step forward. As they begin to step forward and listen to what he's saying, he's pushed back to the place that there's no place for him to stand. He looks around and he sees two boats and he gets in one of them. As he gets in the boat, he finishes teaching. And it's at that place that the story begins. See, that day, Jesus is going to get in a man named Simon. You know him as Peter. He's going to get in his boat. And what I want to do is I want to walk you through what a journey of faith looks like, what this thing that we call Christian faith really means and what it looks like. When I read this story, the thing that just stands out to me is there's this multitude of people. But in the midst of that multitude, can I tell you something? Peter hadn't gone to hear Jesus. Peter wasn't there as a part of the multitude. Peter was there just because he was fishing and he was doing his job. But in the midst of a multitude of people, Jesus is going to get on Peter's boat. And that's the first principle of faith. Aren't you glad that even when you're not seeking Jesus, Jesus is seeking you? Aren't you thrilled that when you're not looking for him, he knows exactly where you are? Sometimes you've been in the multitude, but for a lot of us, we weren't in the multitude, but somehow God knew exactly where our boat was. And see, when you talk about faith, faith always begins with hope. And I'm a pastor. I've done this a really, really long time. Look at this face. You can tell it. And I've done this job. And one of the things that I know is a lot of people believe that there is a God. They even believe in God. But it's amazing to me how many people have absolutely no hope that God's interested in them. Well, I know there's a God, but why would he care about me? Well, I know that there's a God. Why would he be interested in me? Why would he care about my issues, my circumstances, the things that I'm going on with? But in this story, we see this. God wants to get on your boat. It doesn't matter where your boat is. It doesn't matter whether you intended your boat to be for Jesus. God wants to be on your boat. And if I can tell you anything today, if you've just lost a loved one, God wants to be on your boat. If you're unemployed, God wants to be on your boat. If you don't have any means to pay your bill, God wants to be on your boat. If you've been diagnosed with some disease, God wants to be on your boat. And you may not be seeking Him, but He's seeking you because He wants to be on your boat. And in the midst of a multitude, thousands of people, God knows exactly where you are. See, when you're a pastor, you hear these words. Well, no one knows what I'm going through. No one knows what I'm dealing with. No one knows what I'm facing. No one knows what I'm feeling. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what's going on in your life, and He wants to be on your boat. All that being said, it sets up this story. And the first principle is simply this: faith always begins with hope. That even if you're not seeking God, God's seeking you. That even if you're not sure that God's interested in you, God is. You may not be loving God, but God wants to love you, and that is the basis of hope. But then there's another thing in the journey of faith. And the journey of faith involves that if God is on your boat, if Jesus gets on your boat, what He wants you to do is just listen. Just listen to what He says. Just begin to listen to what God is saying to you. Just listen. Because in Peter's case, it's going to be some simple words. Why don't you push away from the shore? Why don't you go into the deep? Why don't you throw out your nets? But you know what? Peter had every reason not to listen. And some of you, you have every reason not to listen because you have worked hard on your marriage and nothing seems to work. You have prayed for your kids, but it doesn't seem to be getting better. You have gone through trials and it seems like you've been left alone. But here, Jesus utters these words: just push out, just a little bit. But you know what? What we know about faith is faith involves listening. But listening isn't something that's easy for us. It was about probably, exactly 32 years ago, we had moved into a building that would not have been as large as this. But as we're in that building, it was uniquely set up. We had the center aisle like this is set up. But the thing about that center aisle was that when you went out the back doors that would be at that center aisle, 10 feet on the other side was our nursery. So there would be times that people would walk in and open these doors, and someone was walking in the nursery, and they would time just simultaneously where someone's going out this one. Those are being opened up. And at that particular time in our auditorium, you could hear a baby cry. One of the things that was always so interesting to me is I'd literally watch every young mom pick up their head. Because they were listening. And you know what they were listening for? Is that their baby's cry. And I would literally, as the baby's crying, watch, and a mom would sit there and she'd pick up her head and she'd listen. And when she would listen, all of a sudden she'd put her head down. Why? That wasn't her child. And so I'd watch another one, she'd have her head up, she'd hear, no, that's not her child. Then she'd have another one would have there, that's not her child. And then what would happen is I'd be able to spot the mom. And then that mom would listen because every cry is not the same. Some cries are just, hey, I'm a baby, I'm crying. Other cries are, I'm a baby and I'm hungry. And then there's the cry of, hey, I'm in trouble. And I would listen, or I'd watch as that mom would listen, and as that mom would listen, I would watch, and she's listening for that particular cry. Is it just the baby being a baby? Is it that they're hungry? What? And sometimes I'd watch them put their head down, and they'd think, man, this isn't any big deal. Sometimes I'd watch the mom just get up and head out because she had recognized the cry. Can I tell you something? In your life, God wants you to recognize His voice. He wants you to be able to hear His voice. That no matter what's going on, He wants you to hear his voice. See, you got to understand something. This wasn't Peter at church. This was Peter at work. So wherever you work, can you hear his voice? I'm not doing a good job. I need to help you. How many of you men are married? Would you raise your hand? How many of you men are married and you just didn't raise your hand and your wife's wondering why right now? Here's the deal. Guys, sometimes we're not good at listening. And all the ladies said? And so we're just not good. And so what happens is sometimes a guy can be at work and his wife has already made it home. And so what his wife does is she calls her husband. She says, "Sweetheart, you know what? I'm making dinner, but on your way home, could you pick up three things at the store?" And then the wife, just trying to be, you know, just thorough, says, "Why don't you write these three things down? Why don't you just write these three things down?" But see, we're guys, and when we're asked to write something down, that means no way in the world will we write it down. Am I right, guys? Okay, we're not writing it down. So we don't write it down. We get busy with work, and we head home. And when we head home, we finally remember, oh, my wife called today. She asked me for something. She asked me to pick up something at the store. And then all of a sudden our minds say, what did she say? What in the world did she say? And our minds start going through this entire working process. Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what she said. I'm not sure what she said. But you have options right now. As a guy, you could call home and ask your wife. But there's no way you're going to do that, are you? That's just not a possibility, because that would mean you're giving up your man card. And you're not going to give up your man card and call your wife and acknowledge that she was talking and you weren't listening, because that usually means she's going to want to talk to you about what she's already talked to you about. And that's so much fun for us guys. Any guys want to say amen? Yeah, and so we just don't want to do that. We don't. And so what happens is we go to the store believing that somehow we're going to have supernatural recall. But when we walk into the store, what we do is we pray. God, please remind me, what did my wife say? You know, Pastor Carl talks about a word of knowledge. Could you give me a word right now? Just show me what those three things are. And so there's guys that have never prayed in their life that start praying at the grocery store. And they start praying, and it seems like God doesn't listen to them. And so now the guy has, he couldn't call his wife because that would ensue another conversation. He's prayed. The prayer seems to have gone unanswered. Now we're into plan C, which means the guy says, well, if I don't remember what she said, I'm going to show that I was caring and thoughtful. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the store and I'm going to buy anything she's ever asked me to buy before. So even though your kids are in college, you pick up diapers. Because when you get home, you want to show that you listened. And so you walk into the house, and what happens there? All of a sudden, your wife says, "Now, sweetheart, I called you. Did you get those three things?" And all the guys say, all the guys say, we say yes, we absolutely say yes. And then she says, well, where are they? Say, well, sweetheart, I'm such a good husband. I didn't get just three things. I got 28 bags of groceries out here. I wanted to make sure that you did not have to go shopping. So we bring it in and say, just check, they're there. And she goes through and the three things are missing. Here's the deal. God wants us to learn how to listen to him. So if you're taking a journey of faith, it always begins with hope. God's looking for you, whether you're looking for him. If you're taking a journey of faith, it is always followed by listening, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then once you get those two things, then something else happens. Peter looks at Jesus and he says, you know what, this doesn't make sense to me. I know that you fish during the night, not during the day. I know that I've been mending my nets and all I'm going to do is create more work for myself if I'm going to do this. But nevertheless, at your word. See, the third component of faith is that eventually you have to do what God is saying. You just have to do it. Nevertheless, at his word. Now, to Peter, this didn't seem to make sense to him. It didn't seem to have any rhyme or reason to it. You didn't fish then, you didn't fish where, you wouldn't do it then, and yet Jesus is asking him. But here's the thing. If you're going to be a person of faith, there will come moments in your life when you have to do things that Jesus has asked you to do. So it may go like this. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. That's so simple to say. But there's some of you that right now in your life, God's just saying, I need you to do what I said to forgive. And what happens is you react and you push back, but you don't know what was done to me. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've faced. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how hard that was on me. You don't know how much that hurt me. But Jesus says, can you say, nevertheless, at my word? Let me help you. It was probably about 15 years ago. I'm preaching on a Saturday night like you have a Saturday night service. I'm preaching down because, you know, I tend to get on the floor, and I'm preaching down on the floor, and sitting in the second row right on an aisle is a man named Jerry. Now, Jerry's been a part of my church for 10 years. I know Jerry. He's a good man. But what I didn't know was what was going to happen. See, Jerry told me about 5 years later about this. Sometimes God does a miracle, and you don't even know it's happening. He said that I had walked off the floor and I went right up and I put my hand on his shoulder. I'm preaching my message. And all of a sudden I stop and I look down and I say, Jerry, just obey God. Simple words. Just obey God. What I didn't know was that Jerry's business had imploded. It had gone south. He didn't have anything. In fact, what he had, all he had was $300. That's all he had left. But God had told him to put that $300 in the offering. I didn't know any of this. I walk down, I'm preaching, I put my hand on his shoulder, and I look at him, and just in the middle of my message, I say, Jerry, just obey God. Now, jump ahead 5 years. I'm at the Dallas airport. I'm at the Admiral's Club waiting for my flight. As I'm at the Admiral's Club, I look across and Jerry's there. I walk over to Jerry and I said, hey, you waiting for your flight? He is flying one way, I was flying somewhere else. And I said, hey, let's just have a Coke here. And so we began to talk. He says, Pastor, I've never told you what happened. And I said, well, Jerry, we got a few minutes, tell me. He said, do you remember? And I didn't remember any of what I've just told you. He said, you looked at me and you said, just obey God. He said, that was the last $300 that I had. He said, it's 5 years later. I now have $20 million. Now, I have no idea why God asked him to give his last $300, but I'm a pastor. When someone says they have $20 million, God had done a work up till now. Now I'm going to work on Jerry. I'm saying, Jerry, if God could bless you when you give $300, can you imagine what he can do when you go up to the next level? Jerry's always been a faithful giver to our church. He's always helped us impact so many people. So he's already in the game. But can I tell you something? Jesus can be on your boat. You can know exactly what Jesus is saying to you. But if you're not at a place in your life where you say, nevertheless, at his word, Jesus can be on your boat and he can be talking to you, but you will never experience what God has for you. So my question today is this: where is God saying to you, nevertheless, at his word? Do you think it's possible in an audience this size that there's someone who's heard from God, has learned the Bible enough that there's something in their life? Maybe it's forgiving, maybe it's giving, maybe it's praying, maybe it's discipleship, but God's saying, nevertheless, will you do it just because I said to do it? Well, Peter begins to do it. He says, nevertheless, he launches out, he throws out his net, thinking this is crazy. And all of a sudden, he starts catching fish. But he didn't catch just a few fish. He catches so many fish that the Bible says his nets begin to break. Not only do his nets begin to break, but his boat begins to sink. Do you understand what's happening? This is a part of the Bible we don't often teach. He's being blessed into a problem. Let me say it slowly. He's being blessed into a problem. See, if you're a fisherman, what's your worst case scenario in your business? To lose your nets and to lose your boats. He's about to lose everything because God's blessing him. Oh, that can't happen. If God's blessing me, that can't. I watch it all the time. I watch people get blessed and their lives get messed up. See, I'm a pastor. This is all I've ever done. If you looked at my resume, there was one summer I worked at Taco Bell. There was another summer I worked at Safeway. And then the only thing I've ever done is pastor people. So I'm the guy that if you need a burrito, you need something bagged, or you need a burial, you come to me. But that being said, I've watched people. So I have people come and say, Pastor, I just lost my job. Will you pray that I get a job? And then all of a sudden, we'll pray. And you know what? God will give them a job. And they'll say, this is the best job I've ever had. This is amazing. God just gave me a job. And you know what happens? When they were out of work, they were at church. And then all of a sudden, they get this job and we don't see them. And then 6 months later, they come and they say, Pastor, I've lost my job again. And we pray and they get a job. This is my best job ever. And then all of a sudden we don't see them. And then they come back 6 months later. I've lost my job. I had one guy, we did it for 5 times. And finally I looked at him and I said, we see you at church more when you're unemployed than when you have a job. You know what he had done? He had let the blessing of God become a problem. And I watch Christians do that. Oh, I'm believing God that I'll have a kid. They have a kid. And then they say, oh, I can't come to church. And we say, why can't you come to church? Well, you know, my kids, you know, we don't want them around all the other kids, you know, because he might get something, she might get something. And then we don't see him for 6 or 7 years. And then they say, oh, well, we'll come back to church when things calm down. Let me tell you something. If you have kids, life never calms down. If you wanted a calm life, don't have kids. So if you're waiting for life to get better, someone says, oh no, one day they're going to grow up and one day they're going to move away. I have 3 kids. All my kids have left home. I have a dream. Thank you, Jesus. But here's the thing. I've watched people take the blessing of God and turn it into a disaster. God's blessing Peter, but his nets are breaking, his ship is sinking, until he did this. He called for his partners, and his partners came and helped him. Here's the thing you need to understand about faith. You need to understand, whatever God does for you in faith is so that you can share it with others. You don't get to hold on to it. You don't get to be so blessed that you don't take care of other people. So if God's given you healing, your job is to help people who are sick. If God's given you a great family, your job is to help people who are struggling with their family. If God's given you a great business, your job is to take resources and help other people. God doesn't bless you just so you can be the end of the line. He blesses you so you can be a blessing. And anytime faith becomes selfish, it becomes destructive. So I want to ask the question. Is there any chance that there's anyone in this room that your faith is beginning to become destructive? That you're so concerned, oh, I want the blessing of God. Bless my family, bless my kids, bless my business, bless my career. And it starts happening, and somehow the blessing of God is leading you to a problem because you haven't learned to share what God's blessed you with. But here's the journey of faith. He's on your boat. He wants you to listen. He wants you to obey what he says. He wants to bless you so that you can share it. But it's in the midst of that that something happens. Peter recognizes this isn't the average fishing trip. He's fished before. He knows how to tell a fish story. But this is an average. And you know what it says? It says, he fell down on his face. Now, where is he falling down on his face? It's not a nice altar like this. It's in the middle of a fishing boat filled with fish. Can I tell you what fish tend to have? They tend to smell. He falls down in the middle of a fishing boat, and he says, I'm a sinful man. If you take a journey with God, ultimately, that journey is going to be an opportunity for God to change you. See, I know a lot of people who want to be blessed by God, but they don't want to be changed by God. Oh, too much preaching right there. Oh, God bless me, just don't change me. Solve my problems, but don't change me. And it's in the midst of that that he falls down and he says, I'm a sinner. So a journey of faith, it's always a progression. Jesus is on your boat. Jesus wants you to learn to listen. Jesus wants you to obey. Jesus wants to bless you so you could share. And Jesus wants to change your life. And why does he want to change your life? Because he turns to Peter and he says, Peter, you think today was a great day? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. If you think you get thrilled catching a fish, wait until you see other people's lives changed like yours. See, God wants to change you so that he can use your life to change others. And that's what faith looks like. Will you let God change you so he can change others? Heavenly Father, thank you for these thoughts. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that today that you're speaking to people and you're helping people and you're helping people to learn and grow. Right now, I pray that, Lord, you're helping people in their journey of faith. Help people that have never recognized that you're on the boat, that you're there with them. Help people who've never learned to listen to you, that today's the day to begin to hear. Help people who've listened to you begin to obey. And help people who are blessed to begin to share. And help people who've been blessed to have their lives changed. And help people whose lives have been changed to be a game changer for other people. Today, I pray that you would take the story of faith and implement it in our lives in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Today, I want to ask you two questions. The first question is this. Do you know that if you were to die today, that you would be right with God and you would go to heaven? I'm not talking about being a member of my church, this church, or any church. I'm not talking about going through confirmation or dedication. I'm not talking about going through water baptism. I'm saying if you pulled out of this parking lot, you pulled onto the main road in front of this church, and somehow you overlooked a car that was coming, that car ran into your vehicle, paramedics were called, those paramedics came, and they stood over you, and they shook their head, and you took your last breath. Do you know that when you take your last breath, that you would be right with God and go to heaven? If you don't know that, I want to pray with you. See, the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. See, if you don't know that if you were to take your last breath, that you would be right with God and go to heaven, I want to pray with you. Second question. Maybe you're here today and you would say, hey, Pastor, I know that I've placed my faith in Christ. But in placing my faith in Christ, I'm just not close to Him. Maybe through circumstances, maybe through life, you've become distant. But Jesus didn't come into your life to be a part of your life. Jesus came into your life to be the center of it. And if you've drifted from allowing Him to be the center, today's the day that you get to have Him be the center of your life. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, in either one of those two areas, you're not certain if you took your last breath, or maybe you've placed your faith and you're just not close, I want to pray with you. If you'd like to be a part of this prayer, I need you to raise your hand right now wherever you're at. If you know that I'm talking, I see that hand, 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 I see those hands up in the balcony, I see those heads. The only people that I want looking at me are the ones that raise their hand. If you'll look at me. Jesus loves you so much. You've taken a step by raising your hand. But you're going to take another step by praying a prayer. That prayer is not magical words, but according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, God's going to give you faith, and that faith is going to change your heart. If everyone in this room will repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. You said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that I would be saved. Today I'm doing that. I believe with all my heart that you are my Lord. Therefore, I thank you for saving me and changing my life forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you raised your hand and you prayed that prayer for the first time, that's the greatest of all miracles. If you raised your hand and you were already a Christian, you didn't get saved again, you just refocused your faith. But in either area, Jesus loves you so much. Let me say this to all of you. You're a great congregation. You're a part of a great church, and you have great pastors, and I'm so proud of you. It's a privilege being here.